Hi, I'm Harry, and I became the boss of a casino at age 12. Before I tell you the rest of the story, don't forget to subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up and hit that notification bell icon to show your support for me. My mom and dad were horrible to me. They never sent me to school. I was always at home doing everything around the house and serving them in any way they wanted me to. I thought that was normal for a long time, until I noticed that they treated my sister entirely different. Every year on her birthday, she would get tons of gifts. Every year on my birthday, I got to clean the chimney. Bella went to school, had friends, and slept in a massive room designed to look like a princess's tower. I got to wash dishes, do my family's laundry, and lived in a shed in our backyard. The only friend I ever made was the neighbor's dog, who always somehow found its way into our yard. His name was Chico. I didn't know much about the outside world as I was never allowed out and was never allowed to watch TV. But from what little I knew that I had to wait until I was 18 if I wanted to be free of my family. But on my 12th birthday, everything changed. As I was sorting our letters, I found an envelope that had my name on it. I knew no one else except for my father, mother, and sister, so who could have sent me a letter? I tore the thing open and read it as quickly as I could manage. I wasn't great at writing. But by sneaking some of my sister's old, discarded books into my shed, I taught myself how to read. It turned out, I had an uncle, and he knew what my parents had done to me. He had always been against their treatment of me, and so they never spoke, and he was never invited into our home. My uncle got rich through his hard work and good fortune. He became the owner of a casino. And that was when my money-hungry parents started pestering him again. They kept asking him for money and telling him that the money they were asking him for was for my clothes and tuitions. But my uncle quickly found out that they were lying. From then on, he stopped all communication with my mom and dad. And he vowed that once I turned 18, he would take me away from them. Unfortunately, he got sick. And so he wrote to me and told me that when he passes, he was going to leave me everything he owned. And that his lawyers would make sure my family never sees a cent of it. He also asked me if I'd like to leave my family's home and instead live in his estate. Of course, I told him yes. Now, I said I was bad at writing, but that night, I stayed up until I could write him a response. It was only a short letter, but I was glad I was able to somehow tell him how thankful I was, and that I wished I had more time to get to know him. Uncle Doug passed only a week later. I got the news when a bunch of women in expensive clothes came to our house. They told my parents they were Uncle Doug's lawyers. My mom and dad didn't even hide their happiness. They thought the lawyers were there to give them money. They thought Uncle Doug had left them something. They didn't even shed a tear for the poor guy. It was very satisfying to see their faces when the lawyers told them they were only there for me. They whisked me away in a limo, and in a few hours, I was in my new home. It was huge! It took the car 10 minutes just to drive from the front gates to the house, and Uncle Doug's house was easily 10 times as big as my parents' house. I inherited millions. And Uncle Doug left me his old staff to take care of everything. For once in my life, I was able to live a carefree life and somebody else was serving me. I still did my own laundry and dishes, even when the maids insisted against it, though. One day, my security guards reported that my mom, dad, and sister were at the gates. They demanded that I see them. At first, I was nice to them. I even invited them in and gave them snacks. But when I found out that they kept stealing stuff from the house whenever they visited, I banned them from ever getting in again. They came more often. Some days, they'd just stay by the gates like beggars, pleading for my guards to let them in. But I never did. They never showed me any kindness when I lived with them. And when I did welcome them, they stole. I decided I was done. But then, one day, I saw on the news that their house burned down. None of them knew how to cook, and when they tried it, they caused a fire that burned down their whole street. When people dug further into my family's past, they uncovered my story too. A lot of people saw that story. They all hated them. I saw how people would recognize them outside and would throw rotten tomatoes at them. And that was when I took pity. They were still my family after all, and they were hated and had become homeless. I took them in. But don't you worry. I took precautions. I had them put up a bunch of cameras. I made sure they were never allowed to get out of the house. That way, if they stole, whatever it was would still be in my property. And, because I felt petty and wanted revenge for what they did to me, I had someone build a small shed in my backyard. That was their new house. I didn't let them live there for free, either. If they wanted a house and food, they had to earn it. So I made them work for me. My mom was not having it. But you're just my son. You should be taking care of us. My dad echoed her sentiment.
You're asking for too much. You already have lots of maids. Why should we serve you?
My sister protested too. Serve you? Who do you even think you are? You're just some ugly, skinny wimp who'd got lucky. I wouldn't cook you breakfast even if you paid me. I was not going to give in to them anymore. I was already doing them a kindness by just welcoming them into my property and giving them a home, when all they've ever done to me was abuse my kindness. Oh, I'm not paying you. And I'd be quite thankful if you never cooked me breakfast, seeing as how cooking turned out for you the last time you did it. In fact, I'd ask you to stay far away from the kitchen. You get to have a home. You get to be safe from the people out there who hate your guts. You get to eat for free. And that's what you get. In exchange, you do exactly as I say. You clean the house, you clean the toilets, and especially the chimneys. If you don't know how to do it, some of my staff can teach you. Either that, or you pack up your stuff, and you can go and find a job and a home elsewhere. But I doubt anyone would ever hire any of you. That finally shut them up, and they went about their new lives. I, in the meantime, had to work. My uncle left me the job of managing his company, and I was not ready for it. I became the boss of a casino at 12, and I wanted to change a lot of things. I saw how casinos were run, and I saw how some things about it were dishonest. So, I moved to change the wrongs that I saw. At first, it was all great. The staff loved me. One of them even became my girlfriend. People always said she was just after my money, but Becca was pretty good to me, so I didn't listen to anyone. But as time passed and I began to change more and more things, the board of directors began to hate me. They hated that they weren't making as much money as they used to. So they fired me. They didn't care that my uncle used to own the place. Somehow, they got their lawyers to get rid of me. And since I was just a kid who was only doing what felt right, it was too late when I tried to get back in control of things. My then-girlfriend dumped me. That was when I learned that I should have listened to the people who warned me about Becca. She just confronted me as soon as I was fired. I just want you to know that since you're no longer CEO, you and I are done.
What? What are you talking about?
Done? You said you loved me. Oh, honey, you don't really believe that, do you? I was only ever in it for the free bags and your influence. I have a thing for men in power. And since you're not a CEO anymore, I'm gonna have to date the next one. Becca wasn't the only one who ridiculed me after I got fired. My family did too. My sister would always mention the incident whenever she got the chance.
You know, nobody loves you. Not even your family. Look what you did. You made us your servants. You really are stupid. And you're ugly too. So many mirrors in this house, you should know that by now. You're ugly and stupid, and no matter how many times you get lucky, you'll never be successful. Ugly people never win.
Becca always thought the world of herself. She always thought that she was the prettiest girl in the world. Probably because our parents always told her that. And the fact that she'd been making new friends lately made her gain her arrogance back. She was insulting me more often after I got fired, and I found out that she'd been using my name to gain clout on social media. She'd told people she was my sister and that she owned my house. That's how she made friends with an heiress. They ended up getting really close. And perhaps that's why she thought she could rebel against me. In her mind, her new friends would be her new savior. Turned out for my sister and Becca, their luck was worse than mine. Becca got fired for trying to date the casino's new CEO, and that same week, a company reached out to me. They said they wanted me to run their company, seeing as they'd seen my efforts to change the casino industry. The company was owned by my sister's new best friend. I accepted the job. Sienna and I became close, and we started dating. It drove my sister crazy. Her ugly brother is the heiress's boyfriend. And guess what? A week into working there, I saw Becca again, and she was one of our company's cleaning ladies. What happened next? You'll have to find out in part 2.